من يهد الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحابته ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد أيها الإخوة الكرام السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. After praising Allah, Lord of the worlds, sending peace and blessings on His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and saying salams to you, I'll recite a few ayat, and then we'll carry on. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين فمن تطوع خيرا فهو خير له وَأَن تَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ Brothers and sisters, the first thing to say, يقول مثل العربي زامر الحي لا يطرب. There's a saying in Arabic which says that the local pipers, they're never enjoyable. Why do I mention that? It's like saying the local performers from your own area, nobody appreciates them. When I go abroad to different cities, people come out in droves, but when it's your own imam or local, oh, it's only him again, he's been talking every week, we're fed up of hearing him. And that's the idea of Zamirul Hayy La Yutrab. Anyway, secondly, the details, it's impossible to cover in the time that we have, so many aspects of Ramadan and fasting in Ramadan and fasting and its virtues, etc. More details are available on YouTube, on a few seminars that I did. If you type in Dr. Munir Ahmed, Fiqh of Ramadan, and you'll find it there if you want more details covering various aspects. Number three, every year, alhamdulillah, Allah has given me opportunity to present something to our local community and give chance for opportunity question answer. Every year or so, every year or two, I find I have to start by clarifying what some people have been circulating of ahadith or stories or what has been said from the podium actually by khutaba. In English, khatibs. Khatibs is anglicized. In Arabic, you don't say khatibs with an S on the end. It's khutaba. So I have to do that this year as well. Last year, there was an issue going around about some brother who stood up at iftar and then also from the podium in Jummah khutbah, who told a wayward fabricated story, which was a lie against Allah. Unfortunately, I had to pull him up and correct that from the podium myself on the following Jummah. It was very serious. It was more serious than telling a fabricated or weak hadith. Then we had in circulations in the past a hadith that you must have come across. Of course, the most famous one that's always in circulation, but I've clarified many years now, it is well known to be not authentic. And that's the hadith that mentions the first part of the month of Ramadan is mercy, the second part is forgiveness, and the third part is being saved from the hellfire. This is not even in the six books of hadith of Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, and Nasai, Ibn Majah. Yeah. It's not even there. It came much later, and it is not authentic. That's not to say that Ramadan, the month, is not about forgiveness, mercy, and being saved from the hellfire. But you don't say the Prophet ﷺ said this, because that's a lie against him. It's a big serious sin to say that. So, why I say khutbah? Because, I mean, the public, you expect them not to check things. But many khatibs, let me use the English for you, not just the fact that they're not qualified and have not studied the Sharia. Many of them are du'at or wu'ad, preachers, as the scholars said in the past centuries. They're preachers. They have some knowledge of Islam, or they may be good at speaking as well. And they've been involved in da'wah, which is all praiseworthy. It's all good and ajr for them. But they tend to then not have any idea about when they mention things from the Prophet ﷺ and quote things. And many of them, including imams who have done Sharia, are too lazy to do any tahqiq, to check and double check. I remember pulling one of the imams up recently and he said, well, I heard lots of imams saying it. I said, does that make it authentic? Why didn't you check? Just because you heard it from others they didn't check. And you often find that in history, when you study the books in history, you see where some scholars who heard and followed and read from other scholars just copy and paste, and they didn't do the checking because the one who before them didn't do the checking, they just carried on being perpetuated. And before there was a hadith for a few years that was in circulation, I don't see it anymore, where it mentions about Musa alayhi salam saying, Ya Allah, you gave me the honor of speaking to me directly without any mediator. Is anybody else being given this honor? So it is quoted as Allah saying, big thing, making Allah say these things, and it has no basis. That Allah saying, oh Musa, an ummah will come from later nations, the ummah of Muhammad. And at a time when they're doing their iftar, there'll be, before that, Musa, when I speak to you, there are 70,000 screens in between me and you, even when I speak to you. But the people, the followers of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when they break their fast, there'll be no screen between me and them. Oh, subhanAllah, people look at that, say, subhanAllah, better than Musa Alayhi Salaam. Better than Musa Alayhi Salaam. Yeah, and so everybody presses it on, put it on, send it this way, send it that way, so we can all feel nice and rosy, not realizing this is a lie against Allah. Not only the messenger, it's a lie against Allah. And it's a dishonor to Musa alayhi salam to think that you and me are better than him, which is what this fabrication indicates. So this year, one of our khatibs said that Sahaba used to prepare 6 months beforehand for the month of Ramadan. I thought, wow. Unfortunately, I had to sit quietly in the audience to listen to it. 6 months before they used to prepare. Okay. And then there's in circulation that they used to make the dua, Allahumma balligni or balligna Ramadan. And everybody thinks this is a dua of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Oh Allah, let me reach Ramadan. Oh Allah, let us reach Ramadan. So this has been in circulation as well. This 6 months comes in a statement in some of the old books. Asbahani mentions it. It's not a hadith book. That so-and-so said that they used to say, and the person saying is not Tabi'i, so he's not talking about Sahaba. They, we don't know who used to say it. 6 months before Ramadan came, they used to say, oh Allah, let us reach Ramadan. And 6 months after Ramadan, they used to say, oh Allah, accept the fast of Ramadan from us that has gone by. This has no basis. Then to put it on the Sahaba and say, the Sahaba used to do that. This is an accusation which has no... This is an accusation. It's false. Has no basis. We have nothing from the Prophet ﷺ, nothing from the Sahaba, nothing from the Tabi'een, the followers of the Sahaba, to say anything like that. Yeah. So we have to be careful. So first thing to clarify, this, and this statement of saying, oh Allah, yeah, let me reach Ramadan. Can I say that? Of course I can say that. That's not my problem. Can I start making the dua 6 months before Ramadan, say, Ya Allah, let me reach Ramadan? Can I do that? Yes, I can. But I can't quote falsely and say, Sahaba did this, that's why I'm doing it. You see where the problem is? Yeah. It's not. And we have to be careful. Because those not doing it for 6 months before, time limit 6 months, as though it's been set by the Sharia. That's what you're suggesting if you say Sahaba said this. Very serious. So those not doing it all these years, like me, I don't for 6 months say, oh Allah, let me reach Ramadan. They feel guilty and they say, well, I didn't even know that. Or I need to start 6 months before Sahaba used to do it. So you see what you've done to people. Yeah, so we have to be very careful. And of course, in talking of preparation, we're in the month of Sha'ban. Is that right? About the 9th of Sha'ban today, is it? I think it is about the 9th. And soon it'll be the Nisf Sha'ban. Yeah. The middle of Sha'ban. The 15th of Sha'ban. And there's so much that's circulated about that. And said about that. About staying up in the night. Specifically that night. As though it was a sunnah. And we have nothing from the Prophet ﷺ that he did. To single out that particular night. And fasting the next day, we definitely have nothing, absolutely nothing on that. Yeah. We have one hadith. So those who say there's nothing about Sha'ban on one side, and those who exaggerate on the other side. I mean, if you do a check, there is some reality to the importance of Sha'ban. Okay. First, the month of Sha'ban itself. Many Muslims know that the Prophet ﷺ, and it is reported from Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, and others from the Sahaba, in Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet ﷺ used to fast most after Ramadan in the month of Sha'ban, this month. Yeah. And then you hear people saying, oh yeah, because he was preparing, you know, and that's why he was preparing himself for Ramadan. That's why we need to prepare ourselves and fast in Ramadan so we get there and we're all ready and set up. So people, you know, and Sahaba used to do that. Actually, we have no direct evidence Sahaba doing that except out of love for the Prophet ﷺ, but they saw him. Yeah. So Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha sees him and says, actually in one hadith, Bukhari Muslim, she says, I never saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam fast any month completely except Ramadan. But the most he fasted after that was in the month of Sha'ban. And another hadith in Bukhari Muslim, which caused some problems for the muhakkikin and muhaddithin and the ulama, because this hadith then said, Bukhari Muslim again, from Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, that I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fast. Yeah, she said in this version, which is also Bukhari Muslim, kana yasumu sha'ban kullahu kana yasum sha'ban illa qalila. That he used to fast Sha'ban, all of it. and adds to it that he used to fast Sha'ban, all of it except a little. So I was looking at this and saying, these are authentic hadith. So one saying that I never saw him fast a full month completely except for Ramadan. It's the same person reporting Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha. And the other one saying that she actually saying that he fasted, aside from Ramadan, of course he fasted, that he fasted the whole of the month of Sha'ban. And then saying the whole of the month except a little. Now you see, if you and I, and that's why I always say the Bukhari Muslim is not for lay people to go sit open and read. Because so what are you going to do here? You're going to be confused. Because on the pages there seem to be contradiction. Some scholars dealt with that and said, because they're authentic hadith about the same issue. They said that sometimes he would fast the whole of the month of Sha'ban. Yeah, and other times, much of it except a little. Yeah. When she says all of it except a little, it means most of it. Okay. Others said, there's no contradiction, and I'm of this opinion, that he didn't completely fast any month, absolutely completely, except Ramadan. In Arabic language, when you say all of it, kullaha, it doesn't literally mean all of it. It also can mean, and this is in any language, yeah, it's mubalagha, it's exaggeration. When somebody does most of something, he nearly done all of it, hasn't he? Yeah. But the same hadith clarifies when she says all of it except a little. Yeah. So that's the way. And before we run away with the idea that Prophet ﷺ is doing it to get ready for Ramadan preparation, he didn't give that reason. How many people have heard this idea that he was preparing for Ramadan, that's what we should be doing? I've heard it so many times. Actually, I've said it as well in the past. As you learn. But actually, the Prophet ﷺ gives you the reason himself. So you don't need to come with a reason. Maybe you can add to it, because as is reported, yeah, in a good hadith, which is and reported by Usama ibn Zayd, his adopted son. He said, O Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, Lam araka tasum min shahr min ash-shuhur ma tasum min Sha'ban. I've not seen you fast in any other months like you do this month of Sha'ban. Faqala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, ذَاكَ شَهْرْ يَغْفُلُ النَّاسُ عَنْهُ بَيْنَ رَجِبُ وَرَمَضَانُ. This month, Sha'ban, many people, he means people, believers, are oblivious of it, neglect it. It is between Rajab and Ramadan. Yeah? He's talking about Sha'ban. وَهُوَ شَهْرٌ تُرْفَعُ فِيهِ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَأُحِبُّ أَنْ يُرْفَعْ عَمَلِي وَأَنَا صَائِمٌ. It is the month in which deeds are taken up. So especially this month of Sha'ban, he's mentioning something special about it. In which deeds are taken up to the Lord of the worlds. And I love that when my deeds are taken up, that I am in a state of fasting. That's the reason why he's doing lots of fasting in Sha'ban, which is still sunnah. It is not obligatory. It is recommended. Yeah, and that's the sunnah, and that's so people build on that and say that's the reason for doing it. So if I'm doing it, I'm doing it. So Prophet ﷺ said this is special for deeds going up. Yeah. The same, similar, he said the Prophet ﷺ for Mondays and Thursdays. For that, he said Mondays and Thursdays tu'radul a'mal inda rabbil alameen, that they are presented before the Lord of the worlds, the deeds. Yeah. On Mondays and Thursdays. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yeah, forgives all believers, yeah, except for the two who have fallen out with each other, have boycotted each other, and Allah says, delay their forgiveness. That's the famous hadith about Mondays and Thursdays, the sunnah fasting. About the Nisf Sha'ban, since we're talking about preparation, the only one hadith is Hasan hadith. And in that hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, يَطَّلِيَ اللَّهُ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks upon alal ibad, upon his slaves, upon the slaves. Fi laylatin nis sha'ban. Ila khalqihi wa ila al-ibad fi laylatin nis sha'ban min sha'ban fayaghfiru li jami'i khalqihi illa li mushrikin aw mushahin aw mushahin. He looks at all his creation, all his slaves, and he forgives everybody on that night, Nisf Sha'ban, except the mushrik, or the mushahin, or the mushahin are the ones who have a quarrel with each other. This hadith is hasan at best, but hasan hadith are acceptable when there's nothing against it. So there is some importance given to Nisf Sha'ban, and this is the only thing about Nisf Sha'ban that's authentic. The only thing. On that basis, yet we have nothing that the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba singled out this night to do extra special du'as or stay up longer. We can't say Prophet ﷺ didn't stay up that night, because Prophet ﷺ used to stay up every night. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes? So, but we don't have anything specific from the Sahaba and the Prophet ﷺ on this. Okay? But that itself is an indication for if somebody stays up because of this, yeah, then it has some basis for doing so. Yeah? But there's nothing about fasting the next day to single that out. Nevertheless, that would be the fast of the 15th of the month. Is there anything in Sunnah to fast the fast of the 15th of the month?
White days.
Yeah. The white days. The 3 days of fasting of the month. The Prophet ﷺ also recommended there to be the 13th, 14th, 15th. So if somebody does it from that point of view, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. But the idea is not to perpetuate an innovation and say, I don't do any other month throughout the year, and I don't do in Sha'ban 13th and 14th, but I only do the 15th. Because now you're perpetuating a different idea. Yeah. Okay? So, about... And a famous hadith that's often circulated that on Nisf Sha'ban, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends the heavens surrounding the earth, and His forgiveness is as great as the number of hairs on the camel and goats, on the goats and sheep of the tribe of Banu Kalb. This is famous. And this is not authentic at all. So does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in descend on the night of the 15th of Sha'ban? Question to you. It's a trick question.
Yeah,
he does technically, because he comes down at the time of the Hajj and asks which of us will seek him every day. Yep. Prophet ﷺ said every night, didn't he? Yeah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends every night in the last third of the night. Yeah, everybody knows that famous hadith. And he asks, yeah, those who are calling on me, I will answer them. Those who are asking something of me, so I can give them what they're asking. Those asking forgiveness of me, I will surely forgive them. Yeah. So that's every night. But not specifically to say it is the 15th of Sha'ban. Okay, that was my introduction. So, preparing for Ramadan, yeah, we take from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, And if we're able to, we fast more than other months if we can in Sha'ban. It's mustahab, sunnah, recommended. No sin if we don't. Yeah. More difficult when we've got 18-hour fasts as we had in the summer. Yeah. When we had to struggle in, all of us, may Allah accept for our struggle from us for those long fasts in June, July. Yeah, we weren't really looking forward to doing extra ones in Sha'ban as well, were we? Yeah. And Allah knows that. Yeah, Allah knows that. So, of course, season makes a difference. Where we live makes a difference. What we're doing in our lives makes a difference, doesn't it? As to our ability to do, especially the sunnah fasts, which are recommended. Fasting, let me mention, if I can, 10 pointers about it. Recommendations to get the best out of it. First and foremost is niyyah. Always, isn't it? And especially when it comes to ibadat. Innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat, its real application is the focus on ibadat. Otherwise, the niyyah of everyday life of a believer, their niyyah is in their belief. When I don't eat haram and I eat halal, my niyyah is always there. But my niyyah needs focus when I come to ibadah. When I come to ibadah, yeah, it is for to be purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I do my ibadah. So my fasting, if my niyyah is incorrect, or it is wayward or misunderstood, then I'm going to get from my niyyah what I intended. Innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat, wa innama likulli imrin ma nawa. That's exactly the meaning. For the person is only what they intended. So if somebody asks me, why do you fast? And I say, well, the reason we fast is because God wants us to appreciate how hungry and thirsty people feel. Really? If that's what I believe, right? That's what my niyyah is. I'm going around the whole month of Ramadan thinking, yeah, I understand now how hungry and thirsty people feel. Right, let's get on with the story. Is that the reason for fasting? Allah tells you in the Quran what the reason for fasting. I think sometimes we're shy to tell non-Muslims. Why is it? Because we're afraid to mention God. Because they are, where I'm not. The reason I fast is to grow closer to my Creator. Glory be to Him. And that is the real reason for fasting. Is it not, brothers and sisters? So if I'm going to be striving in Ramadan and I don't even know the reason why I'm doing it, I'm misled straight away. Allah SWT is telling you in the Quran, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That perhaps all of you will gain this taqwa. Yeah? This awareness and consciousness and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All that is taqwa. And awe of the Creator. Because taqwa is awe and an element of fear in it as well. Some people are scared to say, oh, no, taqwa doesn't mean fear. No, it has an element of fear. Why are you scared to say that? No doubt Allah SWT is most merciful, most compassionate, ever loving, eternal, etc. But He's Master and Lord of the Day of Judgment. And He is going to punish the wrongdoers in hell. And I don't want His punishment. Am I afraid of that? Of course I am. Of course I am. Every human being lives on the basis then. Our nature is that we follow the carrot and the stick method. Isn't that right? Dangling the carrot is not enough for human beings. Because they will go wrong. It needs a stick behind as well. Yeah? Jannah, the carrot. Hellfire, the stick. Isn't it? Yeah. People are afraid even to mention, subhanAllah, I come across people and they translate, especially in non-Muslim audience, they'll translate the verses to do with paradise and then they'll just skip the ones with hellfire. You're playing games with God. His message is to them as well. Why are you hiding it? Why are you scared? You seem to be more afraid of them than you are of... Be straight. Yeah, be straight. Of course, the idea, and that's why you see in the Quran that not just to mention hellfire, that's the other, you know, people who come gloom and doom and wrath and punishment, that's all that's coming. Yeah, then you miss the paradise and the other side. Yeah, of course, both are there. Anyway, so niyyah, the intention, and the Prophet ﷺ said in hadith in Bukhari that Allah says, يَتْرُكْ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ وَشَهْوَتَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي الصيام لي وأنا أجزي به والحسنة بأشرة أمثالها سبحانه وتعالى. Prophet ﷺ, Allah says, he or she left their food and their drink and their sexual desire for my sake. Allah saying, for my sake. The fasting was done for my sake, Allah saying, for me, and I will personally reward for it. I will personally reward for it. And every good deed is given 10 times a reward, which is according to what the Quran says anyway. Man jaa bil hasana falahu ashru amthaliha. Whoever comes with a good, for them is 10 times. Yeah, 10 times equivalent. Another hadith of the Prophet authentic mentions, ashra ila sab'i miyati da'f ila ad'afin kathira. Every good deed done 10 to 700 times the reward, or even more so. That's for general deeds. But fasting, no. There's no limits for reward from fasting. And that's the idea of kullu amali ibn Adam lahu illa siyam fa innahu li wa ana ajzi bi kama qala ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ saying that all of the deeds of Ibn Adam, the children of Adam, are for him or her. Which means rewarded 10 times to 700 times the reward. Except for fasting. Yeah, except for fasting. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I will personally reward for fasting. SubhanAllah. Yeah, great reward in store for the person fasting. Yeah. That gives us, if we just reflect on that, it is profound, brothers and sisters. It shakes your heart up with enlightenment and radiance, does it not? And it makes you want to move forward and fast to please Allah, does it not? Yeah? When Allah is promising you, look what Allah is promising you. So, niyyah. Second, this is the month of the Quran. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. It is the month of Ramadan in which the Quran was sent down. هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. A guidance for humanity. Clear guidance. Yeah. And a criterion to judge between right and wrong. والفرقان. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَسُمْ. Whoever is present at home in this month of Ramadan, then let him or her fast it. They must fast it. This is the month of the Quran. So month of the Quran, then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know from authentic hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, month of Ramadan, every night he would meet with Jibreel alayhi salam. And some ahadith mentioned Jibreel studying, or Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Jibreel studying the Quran, going through it in the nights of Ramadan. Every year, except the last year of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, he went through it twice with him, the Quran sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that in itself is an encouragement, an indication of the importance of the Quran, is it not? that Allah SWT decided to send the Quran in this month, and He made this month the month of Ramadan, of a fasting. And hence, man qama Ramadan, imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. Whoever stands in night in salah, with iman, with faith, sincerity, hoping from reward from Allah, iman wa ihtisaban, will have all their previous sins forgiven. And the essence of standing in salah in Ramadan, as we know, its essence is the Quranic recitation. And the idea of the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, the fast and the Quran will be in two who intercede for the believer on the day of judgment. And what does the Quran say? The fast will say, Ya Allah, I kept him or her away from food and drink and the sexual intimacy. Yeah. So let me be an interceder for this person. What will the Quran say? Anybody remember? Ya Allah, I kept him awake all night, in the night. He's talking about especially the nights of Ramadan. Yeah. So he's talking about Qiyamul Layl. I kept them away from sleep. So, yeah, let me intercede for this person. The Quran is the essence. The Quran is the gift. The Quran is the miracle. The Quran is the link. No other messengers, miracles were left till Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the miracle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is with us until Allah decides to take it up. Yeah? Still with us. That is our link. That is our gift. That is our light. That is our guidance. That is our connection. That is our instruction. So the essence, when Allah says, we sent the Quran down as a guidance to humanity, clear guidance and a criterion, then you tell me, is the purpose of reciting the Quran just to recite it without understanding and pondering and reflecting on it? When the Quran is telling you, have you not pondered? Do you not reflect? Do you not think? Or you who believe, do this. Or you who believe, do that. And we're standing. And if we don't understand Arabic, we're just reciting. Missing the very essence and purpose. So yes, it is sunnah to go through the Quran if you're able to. Sunnah, not obligatory. The whole of it in the month of Ramadan. With the purpose of understanding, pondering and putting it into practice. So it melts our heart. So if you're unable to do that, then do less. But do it still with translation and pondering and reflecting. And try and target that you start it then and go through and carry on with it till next Ramadan. Let it take you a year. There's no hurry. And the way of the Sahaba, as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, that we used to only take 10 ayat from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We learnt them and we didn't move on to another 10 until we'd learnt them, memorized them, understood them and practiced them. That is the Sahaba. That is their way. So it is not the amount. It is the purpose and maqsad, what the Quran was sent for, that we need to realize, brothers and sisters. So Quran number two. Number three. To stay away from haram. And somebody might think, well, I never do haram. Well, none of us are like that. We all, Ya Ibadi, yeah, all my slaves, you sin by day and by night, as in Hadith Qudsi, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that Allah says, yeah, that you sin by day and by night, and I forgive all sins. فَاسْتَغْفِرُونِي أَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ Allah saying, so seek forgiveness of me and I will surely forgive you. So to make greater effort from staying away from sin. And that's really what fasting came for. What's taqwa for? Taqwa, the element of fear in it and awe of Allah is taqwa prevents us from being caught by the thorns of sin. On Sirat al-Mustaqim that shaitan's laid out everywhere. So taqwa is to tread carefully. Yeah, if we're talking about thorns in a path, yeah, that's metaphoric. Yeah, the path here is life. And how I live it, whether I get caught in the thorns, has serious consequences more than a thorn pricking me or tearing my garment. Isn't that right, brothers and sisters? Yeah, much more serious. Yeah. So taqwa is to prevent us. Taqwa is that which a believer is convinced that if I look at haram, my eyes are going to burn in fire. If I eat haram, my belly is going to be filled with fire. If I talk haram, my mouth is going to be on fire. That is taqwa. Yeah. So staying, and sin, the idea of sin, again, being linked with fasting, which is abstention. Yes, it's abstention fasting from food and drink, and the marital relationship. But what does that actually do? It is to weaken the physical side of us, isn't it? Weaken the physical side of us and increase the spiritual connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when our intention is to grow near to Him. Grow near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, as some people have said in the past, to weaken the physical animal side and to waken up the human side. Yeah, there's no human without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, there's no animal without Allah either, is there? But especially human being. One who's been given that consciousness and awareness and ability. Yeah. So the idea, of course, weakening, reducing food and fluid intake is not a reduction only till iftar time and then we make up the two meals that we missed. Many Muslims misunderstood that. They thought, well, we missed the lunch, now iftar time we'll have double. Yeah. So if you're actually putting on weight in Ramadan, something is seriously wrong. Isn't that right, brothers and sisters? Something is, get your thyroid checked. Perhaps you got diabetes. And if it's none of those, then something spiritually seriously wrong, you misunderstood. Yeah. It's about reduced intake. Fasting, that's what it means. Yeah. So the idea is, muttaqin and pious, they had light meal because they want to stand in the night and they want to recite. Yeah. So they have light meal. Yeah. If you want a bit more, then fine, but not double the meal. So staying away from haram, of course, some scholars actually said that people who do any kind of small haram or big haram, that their fast is void and they have to make it up. The likes of the great scholar, Shami scholar, Al-Awza'i, who was at the same time as the great scholars of the four madhahib. He was independent, had his own school of thought. Al-Awza'i and Ibn Hazm have the opinion that anybody doing sin. Ahmad ibn Hanbal quite rightly said, he said, if backbiting breaks our fast and we have to make it up again, which one of us is ever going to be able to get one fast which is okay? So he's bringing, Ahmad ibn Hanbal quite right, bringing the humanness out of the slaves of Allah and our weakness. Yeah. Otherwise, we'll be making up fast forever. That's what he's suggesting. You'll never get it. Yeah. But of course, he's not still going away from the idea of striving to stay away from wrong. And in staying away from wrong, yeah, it begins at home. Yeah. Staying away from wrong, you know, and the greatest of weapons of shaitan, perhaps, in wrong is our tongue, is it not, brothers and sisters? That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man yadman li ma bayna lahiyayi wa ma bayna rijlayhi, adman lahu jannah." Whoever guarantees for me, yeah, meaning control of what, the tongue, and that which is between the legs, I will guarantee them jannah, paradise. Yeah, I will guarantee them paradise. And all of us understand about the fahisha and ludity of adultery and sexual relationship outside marriage. And look, the Prophet ﷺ put it in the same basket and the same place as sins of the tongue. Yeah. And how many of people, as he said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, who was surprised, he said, "Are we really going to be taken to task for what we say, O Messenger of Allah?" Yeah. Prophet ﷺ said, "Thakilatka ummuka ya Mu'adh. May your mother be bereaved of you." So like an Arab saying, what, you don't even realize that? You're not actually making dua for him to lose his mother. It's an Arab saying which indicates, don't even realize that, Muad. Yeah. What do you think? What do you think will lead to people being dragged on their faces or noses and thrown into the fire except, yeah, the harvest of their tongues? Illa. Sadu al-sinatihim. Yeah, except the harvest of their tongue. When the Prophet ﷺ was asked about advice by one Sahabi, he said, "Qul Rabbi Allahu thumma istaqim." Say, "My Lord is Allah, then have istiqama." I always like to use the word for istiqama, have backbone. Have a backbone. Stand your ground with your values and principles and your deen. Be strong. Yeah, that is istiqama. Thumma istaqim. Then the Sahabi said, this is hadith in Tirmidhi. He said, "Ma akhwafu ma takhafu alayya." O Messenger of Allah, what is it that you fear most for me? It's like you and me asking actually this to the Messenger of Allah and getting this response from him. What did he say? So the Sahabi says, فَأَخَذَ بِلِسَانِ نَفْسِي فَقَالْ هَذَا. So the Prophet ﷺ, in response to our question, he took a hold of his tongue and he said, "This is what I fear for you. This is what I fear for you." Yeah. So staying away from bad deeds, which means, yeah, anger. Yeah, nowadays we got it the opposite. Yeah. Why is he shouting? Or why is the mother shouting, why is the father shouting, or why they're shouting at each other? Oh, because he's fasting. The idea of fast was to stop making you angry, not making you more angry. Then they try and bring some science into it, his blood sugar's low. Come on. If low blood sugar equals inevitably that you are going to be angry, then this deen would never have come with the idea of you having sabr. Allah's the one who knows your blood sugar is going to be low, and his messenger, and has said that this is a month of sabr. True? So don't use it as an excuse, my blood sugar is low. Leave that for others to use. Number four. Going out of your way to do good deeds. Yeah, and that starts at home as well. Often when I say, not doing haram, not doing bad deeds, yeah, doing good deeds, people look out there and look beyond, and right under their nose is their own home. And it starts between husband and wife, yeah, with the children, brothers and sisters, with their parents, yeah, and the neighbours. That they're the immediate who should feel in our house that this is the month of fasting. This is the month of fasting. Yeah, so it's like two hands washing each other, isn't it? You create an atmosphere. That's why it's a community thing. The whole of the ummah is fasting. It's great. The whole ummah. And you feel when you're together in something, isn't it? You feel much more empowered when you're all doing it, rather than when I'm doing it on my own. It's much more difficult to fast on your own, isn't it, brothers and sisters? When we've tried to do the nawafal or sunnah fast and you're the only one fasting, it's much more difficult. Yeah. But when everybody's doing it and everybody's striving for the same. So, about deeds, that's why the Prophet warned in a couple of hadith. He said, in one hadith, he said, "Man lam yada qawl az-zur wal amal bih, falaysa lillahi haja an yada ta'amahu wa sharaba." Yeah, whoever does not leave alone false speech and behaving on falsehood, that's all, anything that's against, that's munkar, against ma'ruf, any wrong. Whoever doesn't stop any of that, Allah is not in need of them leaving their food and drink. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. We're indicating to us what's the purpose of the fast. And in another hadith in Bukhari, Prophet ﷺ said, "Rubba sa'im laysa lahu min siyami, laysa lahu min siyami illa al-ju' wa rubba qa'im laysa lahu min qiyamihi illa al-sahr." Perhaps the one fasting, there is nothing for them in compensation except hunger and thirst. That's all they got. And perhaps the person standing in the night gets nothing from that except wakefulness. Yeah. No reward, in other words. Because they missed the very essence and point and purpose of fasting. Yeah. So, we need to keep that in mind. Number five, sadaqah. So I'll quickly go through the last few. Sadaqah, especially in this month. Because this is from the Prophet ﷺ. The Sahaba saying, the Prophet ﷺ was the most generous human being that they ever came across. But he became more generous in Ramadan when he met Jibreel ﷺ. And ulama then say, look, meeting Jibreel, look the effect that's having on the Prophet ﷺ. And reflecting on the Quran, what's it doing to the Prophet ﷺ. Yeah. It's like good company encouraging you to become even more generous. Yeah. And like the hadith says, the Prophet ﷺ was more generous than a breeze bringing rainwater, which is like blessing coming, isn't it, to a drought-ridden area. So Prophet ﷺ was more generous. كَانَ أَجْوَدُ مِنْ رِيْهِلْ مِنَ الرِّيْحِ الْمُرْسَلَةِ. Yeah, a wind that's been sent with rain. More generous than that. And that's perhaps why it's become a tradition now, isn't it, in the community, that Muslims tend to give their zakah in Ramadan. Yeah. There's nothing from the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba on this, by the way, that they give their zakah in Ramadan. But it's linked with that idea. And there's nothing wrong with it. Really, the idea, the zakah doesn't, it's impossible that zakah falls for everybody in the Muslim community in Ramadan. Because it depends on when your nisab, your minimal amount, reaches above the minimal amount, then your lunar year starts from that moment. And that's not, clearly that's not always in Ramadan. For everybody it's different. So when you reach the nisab, your zakat calculation starts from then. Yeah. Okay, if it's done once in Ramadan and it's always above the nisab, then you can carry on in that cycle. But once it goes below the nisab, the minimal amount, yeah, then whenever it goes above, and it might be in September, it might be in December, it might, well, I should use the lunar months really, might be in a different month, then your 12 months start then. And if your 12 months are over in Rajab, or in Sha'ban, you don't wait to give your zakah till Ramadan. You're not allowed to. That's just a little pointer. But nevertheless, beyond zakah, sadaqah. And of course, Qiyamul Layl, number 6. I haven't got time to go through it. But don't get caught in the debates of or 20. Yeah. Don't be caught up on this. There are those who went to this extreme and said, no, it's 20. Ijma of the Ummah. No, it's not Ijma of the Ummah. And those who went to the other side and said, no, Prophet only ever did 8. How dare you do more than that? It's a bid'ah. Yeah. So they accuse each other. Yeah. And this fighting, there were mosques where people were fighting each other and quarrelling with each other. Yeah. And one great imam came in and they were quarrelling and he said, do you realise that Taraweeh prayer that you're arguing over and breaking your brotherhood over is a sunnah? But brotherhood and unity is an obligation. So all of you pack your bags, go home, instead of arguing, actually don't pray Taraweeh prayer. Yeah, better you keep your brotherhood. Go and pray at home individually. Actually, some scholars have the opinion that it is better to pray individually from the classic times. Yeah. And that is actually indicated by Umar bin Khattab himself, who started the idea of Salatul Taraweeh, as it became known later. It wasn't known as Salatul Taraweeh at the time of Sahaba. But there's nothing wrong with the title of it. It came from the idea of every 4 rakahs, because they were long rakahs. Yeah? So after 4 of them, 2 and 2, they would have a break and rest. Yeah. Nowadays, you have a break for 30 seconds, and some people in the audience say, come on, get on with it. I've got to get back. What are you doing? We should say to them, you're not doing Salatul Taraweeh. So the idea of, it came from Raha, Taraweeh. The rest period was actually Taraweeh. But metaphorically, the Salah became as Salatul Taraweeh, yeah, known as that. But Umar bin Khattab established it after, radiallahu anh, established it after Salatul Isha immediately. Yeah. Salatul Layl was really in the last third. And Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have authentic hadith, prayed it only 3 times. Some say 2, but what we have, many hadith that he came out on 3 odd nights. And he was praying on his own, actually, in the first 2 nights, certainly. And so, in an area that was adjacent to his apartment, that went into the mosque. And Sahaba found him and joined him behind him. And more came and more came. Yeah. Only in one hadith it mentioned that last night he called his family and his wife to come and join the Salah. And after that he didn't come out again. There were large crowds of Sahaba waiting. And he was asked of Fajr. He said, I knew you were there, but I didn't come out. And the reason is in case it was made obligatory upon you, and I didn't want that to happen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, Prophet Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because then some ulama said that he was doing it individually. Umar, when he establishes it in Jama'ah, as Salatul Layl, he said, this is a wonderful innovation. Ni'matul bid'ah hadihi. But after that, he said, yeah, those who, the one, the Salatul Layl that's going to be done later on in the night, yeah, by people who are asleep now, they're asleep at the time of Taraweeh prayer after Isha, the one that they're going to do later in the night is better than the one that's established now. That's Umar saying it, subhanAllah. Yeah. But I still encourage people to come to Taraweeh prayer, yeah, because the Ummah accepted it, and there's some great blessing in people coming together, isn't it? Yeah. That's why, from the front, those who are wanting to hurry, I always say they've come out and they're meeting each other, the brothers and sisters. Give them 5 minutes, yeah, to show their love for one another. Because it increases them in iman and love for one another, doesn't it? Because no other Ummah's out there. SubhanAllah. I won't have time to go through. I just want to tell you something. As bad as the state of the Ummah is, and we've got a disease and an illness, we're that Ummah that was predicted by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, yeah? And it's interesting that at the time, 1400, maybe just less than 1400 years later, when the Turkish Empire was about to finish in 1920s, I think it was in the British papers, there was a cartoon published where the Ottoman Empire was the Turkey And everybody was coming around the table eating from the turkey. And the whole idea of this turkey is linked with this fall of the Ottoman Empire anyway, you know that. Yeah. That picture of eating from the table with a turkey on it, with food on it, and that representing the Muslim Ummah, the Ottoman Empire, is a picture the Prophet ﷺ painted nearly 1400 years before. He said, a time will come when nations will come upon the Muslim Ummah as though they came to a platter and a tray, taking from it. Just that picture, exactly. Yeah? All taken from Muslim Ummah. They said, why, O Messenger of Allah, will we be in such few numbers then? He said, Balantum kathir. No, on the contrary, you'll be in great numbers. And the hadith carries on, and he says, but Allah will remove any awe of your presence, any fear from other nations from you. Nobody will be scared. Yeah, of anything you can do. And he will put the wahan inside you. The wahan will descend upon your hearts and you. They said, Ya Rasulullah, what's the wahan? Mal wahan, Ya Rasulullah. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hubbud dunya wa karahiyatil maut. The love for dunya and the hatred for death. That's what we've been overtaken by. Dunya, me. That's what the ummah is. And who's close to the Quran? And who's reflecting in the Quran? But despite all that, last couple of years, in the last 10 nights, I had the privilege, you'd be surprised for me to say that, to be in a mosque in Dubai, of all places. And you're thinking, that wretched place of Fahisha? Yeah, that place. To go at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning on the last 10 nights, and the mosques are men, women, children overflowing at 3 o'clock in the morning out onto, even though the mosques are big there, you know, they're not like ours, yeah, into the courtyard. 3 in the morning, and to stand and pray before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was such an elating experience, and looking around and seeing youngsters, elders, men, women, children. Which other nation gets up at 3 in the morning, I thought to myself, to come and pray to the Almighty? And this nation still is doing it. It's special. Cherish and value what we have. And don't let go. Have istiqamah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه الغفور الرحيم. Any questions?
I'm going to ask a question. I mean, you're very philosophical, maybe perhaps deep meaning to Ramadan purpose, etc. But technically, side of things which always crops up is at what time does the fasting start? And there's always different timetables. Can you elaborate on that? I know it's not the deep down meaning of things.
My brother's asking about the start time, or is really asking when do we stop eating and drinking? That's what you're asking, yeah, aren't you? For Fajr to start. This was more of an issue, and it's going to be no issue now. It was an issue for countries who are on a latitude beyond 45 degrees when we had May, June, July after 15th of May, because there was no disappearance of twilight. Now you're going to find that the timetables are going to be very similar, because that issue has disappeared. No twilight disappearing meant there was no beginning for Fajr time and there was no Isha time. So now people went to ijtihadi opinions, and there's variety of opinions, what you do then. Yeah? But you're going to find now we're not going to hit that, because that time period for UK starts at 15th of May. We will be well and done, well and truly done before that. So you'll find timetables in now in this season that the Fajr, beginning Fajr time, most of ulama using degrees will use 18 degrees. It's going to be very similar, 5 or 10 minutes here and there. It's not going to make a difference.
But even so, in beyond me, what is the cause? Why do they have difference?
I just said that. The reason is because there's no beginning Fajr time in the horizon. Because it remains twilight all night long. The sign for Isha prayer starting is the disappearance of twilight. The sign for Fajr starting is the reappearance of twilight in the morning. You don't have that. So you had Ijtihad opinion now. How do we estimate it? That caused the difference of opinion.
Suppose any time...
any of the times based on Ijtihad were fine for you to follow. Okay.
You mentioned that Hazrat Umar established this practice. You also mentioned that he prayed at home. So did he pray at home or did he establish like in Jama'ah?
No, I didn't say he prayed at home. What I said was that Umar bin Khattab, when he was Khalifa, he came to the Masjid Nabawi, he saw people praying in scattered groups, their Salatul Layl in Ramadan, and he thought, and he's speaking in the commentary himself, I thought, why not, but would it be nice to put them together rather than them standing in small little groups? And he put Tamim ad-Dari and Ubay ibn Ka'b, they were obviously the best of reciters from the Sahaba, as imams to lead them in the Salatul Layl. And he did it, established it straight after Isha, so that people won't have to wait around late into the night, and even though last third of the night is the best time for Salatul Layl, which is what it is really. And when he established it, as it's going on, this is his comment, he's saying that those asleep, because everybody wasn't there doing Salatul Taraweeh at that time, those who are asleep now to pray this prayer later on in the night, that is more virtuous. That's what he's saying. Yeah, it's his comment. Any other questions? Fiqh questions? The fourth one was doing good deeds.
When it comes to making up fasts in terms of like pregnancy or nursing, some people say about making it up when you then can fast, and then the other idea that then you're giving money in charity to feed people. What?
Yep. Good question. So the madhahib have different opinions on the pregnancy and breastfeeding. Hanafiya said that you do qada, you make it up later. Shafi'iyya and some Hanabila went down the road of, if you're leaving your fast in pregnancy and breastfeeding, out of a fear for the child, then you need to make it up and pay fidya. So they give double. No, there's nothing from the sunnah on this, and therefore there were different opinions amongst the scholars later. I believe the best opinion is the opinion of Abdullah ibn Abbas and Abdullah ibn Umar before the madhabs came. Because Sahaba had different opinions. So these two great scholarly companions of the Prophet ﷺ, it is documented that they said that the pregnant and breastfeeding women put them in the same category as the elderly who can fast but with difficulty. They abstain from fasting and they pay the fidya, which is for each day equivalent of a meal for the poor person. And I believe that's the best opinion. And it's fine if you're Hanafi to follow the doing the qada, absolutely fine. With great respect for that opinion. I do have a problem with the opinion, even though it's from great scholars of the Shafi'iyya and others who say that that she has to do both, which is do the qada and pay fidya. Unless they say that she's doing it out of fear for damage and to herself, then they say qada only. Anyway, okay, no need to go that technical. I'm just mentioning
qada fasting.
Qada means to make up.
Make up, yeah. What can you,
when to make up?
Make it out as soon as you finish, or can you have the whole of the year?
You have the whole of the year, and especially when you're talking about. Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, for example, when she talks about Sha'ban, she used to say, the fast I used to miss because of menses, I used to make them up in Sha'ban. That's just before Ramadan, the next Ramadan.
And what about the six fasts after Ramadan? Can you use them as makeup, or do you have to wait after?
No, you can't. Because the six fasts of Shawwal, if you're going to do them, are Nawafil fasts. Nawafil fast. You cannot mix a niyyah for a Nawafil fast and niyyah for Fard fast that you're making up. Yeah, so you can't do that.
In that 6 years, you can't do it. You just have to do it afterwards.
You need to do them first. Some scholars said you need to do them first. Yeah, because the obligatory take priority. Yeah. So there is an opinion on that, but others say you can do it later. That's if you... and there's different opinion about the six of Shawwal, of course, as well. Imam Malik said that they're not sunnah. And Abu Hanifa's opinion, and also the opinion of Abu Yusuf from the Hanafiya, is that they're makruh as well, they're not sunnah. But all madhahib after that follow the opinion that they are sunnah, so I won't go into that. Anyway, six of Shawwal, they are voluntary fasts, but you can't mix the intentions with them. You have to do the obligatory one separately. Salaam wa rahmatullah.
If after, as a male, if after puberty, you unfortunately miss some Ramadan fasts, and then since then you become a more practicing Muslim and you've done many of the optional fasts in the calendar year, but you forgot to make the niyyah to make up from the ones that you missed as a sinner, can you then make the niyyah for that, the fast that I've done optional in the past, can they replace them, or do you now going forward make the intention that on Monday, Thursday, Wednesdays are to make up for the fast? Or what's the best way to go about it? Or do I just make a completely new fast just to make up for those missed ones?
Okay. There's a difference of opinion on that. Most of the scholars said you have to make up those. They even said it about Salah that you've missed as a Muslim for years, which put people into a lot of difficulty. And that's not the only reason I'm saying I disagree with that, with the greatest respect to those scholars, and more with the opinion of those scholars like Ibn Taymiyyah and others, Ibn Hazm, who said, once you missed a fast, right, not with a reason like menses or breastfeeding or illness, you just missed it intentionally, it can never be made up again. Neither can the salah, because the time for it has gone and the salah has gone. Best thing to do is, as you say, you become a better practicing Muslim, is to do tawbah. And tawbah cleans away everything that went before. And what you can do, what I say beyond that, is do the nawafil fast that you're doing is extra. Yeah, because the Prophet ﷺ, Allah says, after checking the obligatory things on the Day of Judgment, yeah, like he says, first thing that will be asked about is Salah, the obligatory Salah. If it is in order, then it is likely everything else is in order. Yeah. If there's any deficiency, Allah says, check about the tatawwa, about the voluntary things from my servant. Yeah. And the idea that the Prophet ﷺ said that the voluntary things, it closes the deficiencies and gaps, fills them. So from that basis, then try and do, you can't there's no requirement, in my opinion, to, if you've got 10 years of fast missing, whole months of them, to make them up, yeah, in the time to come. Do tawbah to cleanse and make sure you don't end up like that again, and do istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do voluntary fast here and there. No, you're not doing them with the intention of making those fasts individually, no. If you are, then you have to make that intention, as the scholars who say you have to make each one of them up, then you have to do it with that intention as you go ahead. You can't look at voluntary ones you've done in the past and say, now I'll stick my intention on that one, no.
But there's not many fatwa to back up that idea of, there's not many fatwa to back up the idea of doing the work of fast, just make tawbah is the better approach, right?
That's the best approach.
And you briefly touched upon then some of the scholars say about salah, anything you've missed you can't make up. I just want to ask you your personal opinion from your end, because there's a mixed opinions on this. What's the criteria for someone falling out of the fold of Islam? Sorry, it's nothing to do with what you about Ramadan, but if a person prays once a day, are they a kuffar, or do they have to pray zero times a day for someone to say they've fallen out of the fold of Islam? And this is a person who wants to be a better Muslim, who is a shabab and has many questions, and it's causing them to fall away from Islam, and they're deliberately therefore not praying the salah. So then, in the eyes of Allah, I mean,
okay, very, very easy to answer that. So if the person who's a Muslim believes they only have to pray once a day, that is kufr. That is kufr. They believe that it is only required for me to pray, obligatory, once a day. That is kufr, but I don't say they become kafir, because they may be ignorant. Only a judge can decide, and Allah can decide, whether somebody has become a kafir. We say that is kufr, to believe that. A person praying only once a day, should be praying five times a day, the obligatory prayer, is fasiq. You don't say they're kafir. They're doing wrong. Yeah? But you encourage them to build on the one, not say you're only praying one, you wretched person. You know what I mean? So the idea is to encourage and to build, increase from one, and it should be five, and to try and point out that the obligatory prayer it's just a fara'id, and literally they only take 5 minutes if you concentrate on just the fara'id, which are obligatory. 2 fard of fajr, 4 of dhuhr, 4 of asr, 3 of maghrib, and 4 of isha. That is the obligatory. Yeah, zero, as long as the person doesn't declare and say, I don't believe you have to pray at all 5 times a day, that's why I'm doing zero. Then you say you have uttered kufr. I don't say about somebody, you have become kafir. No. Who am I to say that? But the statement is kufr. I think we need to stop, because no point having refreshments and I'm keeping you sitting here. The Salatul Isha is in 15 minutes. Is that all right? Forgiven? Can I go?
Yeah.
Salahuddin? You want to ask now?
There's always the mention of shaitan being locked up during the month of Ramadan. Is there any chance you can just elaborate on that in a...
Yeah. I can. That used to be something that, when I was younger, I used to wonder what that means. I've mentioned it in many khutbahs, for those of you who heard the khutbahs before, about shaitan being chained or restrained. And the idea is for believers. Yeah, because disbelievers are still carrying on. You must be thinking, hang on, I thought shaitans were chained. Yeah, these guys are still drinking, boozing, killing, war, and the tyranny is still going on, isn't it? No, the idea is for the believers who are fasting and praying in the night, it is the gates of paradise have been flung open for them so they can easily get to paradise. Gates of hellfire close. It's difficult for believers who are fasting, remembering Allah, yeah, worshipping Him even more so, to end up in hellfire. Yeah. And shaitan chained, because when they, for the sake of Allah, leave their food and drink and their marital intimacy, yeah, that weakness I talked about weakens shaitan. That's the idea of shaitan being restrained and chained. Okay? Allah's made it easy for us. We all know, and I've said this through experience, we all know that when we're fasting, we become a lot more conscious of what we're looking at and what we're doing. Do we not, brothers and sisters? And I found all Muslims, bad ones, moderate ones and good ones, they all have a shift. We used to have, I'll finish with this because Wadi's going to say we're running out of time. We used to have people who said, Dr. Saab, can you help me? I want to stay away from drugs in Ramadan. So the druggie wants to now stop taking the... So even the worst of Muslims, yeah, everybody seems to get better if they have the right link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the meaning of shaitan being respect. Barakallahu feekum. No more questions. Please go and have your refreshments.